Hello and welcome to the first ever By the Minute Motherwell podcast. Tonight we are talking all things Motherwell Football Club with Jason Henderson and James Worry. How are you guys?
Yeah, not bad. Good, thanks.
Well, there's only one place to start. The resignation of Stuart McCall last night sent shockwaves round every Motherwell supporter, I'm pretty sure. Jason, how do you feel now that the news has sunk in?
Well, I think every Motherwell fan, whether you were sort of thinking his time was up or you were willing to give him a couple more months, I think every Motherwell fan will be really, really disappointed and downheartened. I think he was did a fantastic job the years he was here. He was also a really, really engaging manager. Big relationship with the fans, that kind of thing. Obviously appearing in the Banter Thieves video, all those kind of things. He was a fantastic character to have at the club. So I think first and foremost, everybody will be really disappointed. I'm personally quite disappointed because I didn't think it was quite the time for him to go. I know today he said that he'd ran out of ideas, which is fair enough, but I felt the McCall out chat was just a little too premature. I felt he'd done enough in his time here to maybe be due another couple of months or another couple of games to try and turn it round. I think that, you know, these things happen in football, and I think that managers still need to give a chance to learn from the mistakes, and I don't think he was quite given the time. And my big worry now is, who do we bring in? Do we find ourselves next summer maybe wishing that he hadn't gone when he did?
Yeah, I'm just actually going to correct one thing. It's going to be Jay and Buster rather than Jason and James for the rest of this. That was apologies for being far too formal. Buster, I was of the opinion that it was time to go, and then I wake up this morning and I felt absolutely gutted about the whole thing, and especially the kind of emotive statement that he put out. It showed how much he cared for the football club, and it was a shame to see it end that way, wasn't it?
A bit like yourself, it didn't really kick in with me until this morning either. Yesterday when I read about it online, I thought to myself, fair enough, but as I say, when I woke up this morning, it was only then I really decided that it wasn't time for him to go. I don't think there was nothing really happening on the park. It was dying on the park basically. But I just think that, you know, he deserved a wee bit more time. And I think the bottom line was his heart wasn't in it, to be honest with you, and that's why he's packed in.
Yeah, he's overseen so many good times though. You would have thought that he would have stuck around and seen out the hard times, and that disappoints me a wee bit, that such a successful manager, the first time the chips were really properly down, he's away.
I think he said it himself in his email. You know, when I read that email, he basically was saying when things are hard, they're really hard. And I don't think he could take it any longer, to be honest with you. There's rumours that he was trying to quit after the Dundee game. And I just think he got fed up, to be honest with you.
Jay, how much do you think the influence of the supporters has played in this? A lot of the online forums, a lot of the chat around me at the games recently have been saying that his time was up and everything else. The negativity was definitely shown on the pitch as well. The players regularly been booed off, and at times rightfully so, but there's a real poor atmosphere around Fir Park just now, isn't there?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think particularly in a couple of the away games this season, Partick Thistle stands out when both Josh Law and Ian Vigers were substituted at times when, you know, you can have your own opinions with them, but a lot of the abuse and the shouting directed at those particular players did kind of take me back to maybe 5-10 years ago, before the atmosphere started getting a lot better at Fir Park. I think that in terms of the fans' opinions playing a part, I no longer sort of go on football forums because I got fed up with a lot of the negativity. So those kind of places are always quite negative. So I'm not too sure exactly how much a part that would have played. I think we've got to remember when we're talking about this that it's, he did resign. I think there's because there was a lot of the McCall out chat to begin with, I think it's easy to kind of forget that fact, the fact that he did actually, obviously, he personally felt his time was up, which I think was important. I would like to think that, as confident and professional a man as Stuart McCall is, I don't believe that his decision would be particularly affected too much by, you know, posts on Steelmen Online, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I watched STV News tonight and saw Alan Burrows talking about he thinks it'll be a wide range of applicants for the post, and given that Motherwell have been a breeding ground for some excellent managers in previous years, he's very confident about the club's ability to get the right man. They've put a deadline of the end of the month in place for getting someone in. Buster, would you like to see someone in sooner than that, though?
It depends, really, because these things should really take time. I believe in the past they've taken their time, you know, choosing the right man. I'm sure it took a wee bit of time to get McCall in at the time. I can't really mind, to be honest with you, but I'm sure they took their time deciding whether or not to choose McCall, and they made the right call there. So I'm confident that they will actually make the right decision rather than, you know, just going for one of the sort of the usual sort of names that are lumped in when these things happen. But I think they will. I think they should take their time, and I think they will end up choosing the right man at the end of the day.
Well, that's what Burrows had said here, that the last two or three Motherwell managers weren't even on the betting list. They were kind of somewhat out of left field. I very much am of the opinion I don't want to see a name like Derek Adams or Jimmy Calderwood in the post at Fir Park. Would you prefer it was left field as well, Jay?
Yes and no. I think, to begin with, yeah, definitely. I think that we've proven in the past that when we've went left field, it's been a success. I think the problem is, though, I saw the same interview that you're speaking of, and the problem with people inside the club sort of reiterating this idea of going left field is you sort of throw open the danger that we will deliberately go left field. I don't want to be in a position where all the left field candidates aren't actually that good. We've got some candidates that, you know, are the names that we don't particularly want. But if one of those names is the best option and we decide to go for someone else purely because they're left field, then I genuinely think that becomes a danger when the club themselves are talking about the left field thing. Yes, we've done it in the past, but there's only so many times that can work. I remember when we appointed Stuart McCall, I didn't think it was a good appointment. I didn't think he was going to do a good job, and I was proven wrong. That was great, but we've rode a lot, quite a lot, in terms of managers. So if we're just going to go left field for the sake of going left field, then it does, it's a dangerous route and it's a gamble.
Yeah, and I suppose the other thing is it's different people in charge of the club now as well, so this will be their first test.
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, it's all very well saying, well, you know, we've brought all these managers in who weren't, on the bookies lists, but that doesn't really mean anything if the manager we bring in turns out to be a dud. You need to sort of take away that sort of left field idea and just pick the best manager. And if the best manager's left field again, then great. But I don't want to sort of focus on that so much that that actually becomes part of the criteria for picking a new manager.
Just looking back at the season so far, Buster, how have we got to this situation? Well, it's quite clear why we've got to this situation. We've been losing games and conceding lots of goals, but how has it been so drastically bad in comparison to brilliant seasons?
It's a really hard question to answer, and then again, it's not really hard to answer, because if you look at some of the more experienced players, McManus at centre-half, for example, has been absolutely dreadful. John Sutton's been dreadful as well. He's not getting much support, to be honest with you, I don't think, but again, you know, he's been awful as well. There's players who have been a bit unlucky with injury as well and things like that, but again, it's one of those things where everything's just seemed to go wrong right now. The defenders are running into each other, and, you know, we're not making simple tackles, and we're losing goals, stupid goals, constantly, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Jay, I think the lack of goal-scoring threat and confidence has been quite key, but the other thing for me is losing early goals. It seems to be a complete Achilles heel, and as soon as we lose a goal, the heads go down. And then that theme just kind of continues for the rest of the game, it seems.
Well, yeah, that's it. I think the problem is, just picking up on what Buster was saying there, that's, you know, he's hit the nail on the head in terms of the just sort of your professionals, your old guard, if you like, who are expected to turn up and do the job. They've let McCall down. I think The problem I think we've got is the fact that when you actually, I was thinking about it with the Aberdeen game, the St Johnstone game, if you actually go through our lineup, it's just not that good. I mean, you're looking at guys like Ramsden, like Reid, like Kerr, and these are good, half-decent players, but they're not any better than players that play for St Mirren, players that play for Kilmarnock. So you've got no players there that are going to take you to that next level anymore. The problem is that we are void of quality in certain areas. For instance, the last couple of games we've been playing Fraser Kerr on the right wing. Obviously, I don't need to point out to anybody that Fraser Kerr is not a right winger. He's a centre half. Like, Fraser Kerr is not the best right winger in his house, never mind. You know, there's no reason for him to be on right wing. And Francis Angol is the kind of player that if we had someone who could play left wing, I firmly believe Francis Angol would be loaned out somewhere. He's raw, he might come onto a game, but he's not there yet. So when you're playing with those two wingers, with a striker like Sutton through the middle, you're not going to score goals. It's not possible. You're not going to score goals in that formation. You've got Ojama, who's came back in and looks a little lost without Michael Higden. So in terms of going forward, we're not going to score goals. And you're right, the problem is that we kind of seem to have accepted that fact. We've accepted the fact that we're playing with wingers who can't create. And so the last couple of games, McCall seemed to be concentrating more on a defensive formation, trying to stop the conceding the goals. And of course, we've not managed to do that for longer than a few minutes. And then when that happens, your entire game plan's out the window. You don't have players in the park or players in the wing who can create anything. And you're pretty much playing catch-up from then on in, you know, a game that you're never going to really get anything out of after that.
See, whereas I appreciate the fact that you're not going to get every signing right, McCall had a fantastic track record when it came to signings. When the old guard that you speak of weren't working, He didn't change it about and give youth a shot or anything else. He just persisted with the same formula that clearly wasn't working. That worries me in two senses. A, are these young boys not good enough to make the step up to top league football? B, are we just willing to sit still and believe that these players will eventually come good?
Oh no, I mean don't get me wrong. I think, you know, as much as I think Stuart McCall should have been given time and I was disappointed to see him go, there's still a lot that Stuart McCall has done, you know, this season in particular that I don't agree with. I agree that the likes of, you know, Jack Leach before he was injured, Carswell, these kind of guys should have been in the team. And, you know, the weird thing is there have been flashes. You know, you had Lee Irwin seemed to be being introduced into the squad more and more, and then that seemed to stop. I think it's just, for me, I don't know whether it's, you know, naivety on the part of McCall, but I do get the impression that when the chips were down, he has sort of turned towards those established players, knowing for a fact that they have the ability to raise their game, or should have the ability to raise their game, and he's sort of seen those players as being the sort of the ones to get grab, you know, grab the game by the scruff of the neck, and they've just not been able to do that.
Bust, I suppose, on the other hand, there's been handfuls of young players at Motherwell. They have been thrown in at the deep end too early, and the fans can turn against them. Fir Park and the Motherwell support sometimes can almost be a career wrecker, can't they?
Definitely. You know, I tend to agree that there's maybe one or two players who have not been given a chance when they should. But I think you're also about right when you say there's maybe the fact that there's maybe one or two of them who just aren't good enough. People are shouting for, you know, people to come in and cause we're playing players out of position and things like that. But I think there had to be something there, that, you know, for McCall not to want to trust the young boys, for him rather to play Fraser Kerr at left back or whatever whenever he's had to do something stupid like that. I think, you know, there's a reason for that. And to be honest with you, I've not seen enough of the youngsters to know if that is the reason, but I've got my suspicions, to be fair.
Just look at the St Johnstone game on Friday night, and then after being 1-0 ahead, we all know what happened. We ended up losing the game 2-1. It was an encouraging first half display, followed by 40 minutes or 45 minutes of absolute dross. It just seems every time, as I've said already, when we lose a goal, the heads go down, and it just changes the complexion of the game. But I still came away from that game really wondering how we managed to lose it, Jay.
Well, I mentioned the Partick Thistle game earlier, and I think, to me, the St Johnson game seemed a carbon copy of that, where we just couldn't defend against counter-attacks. That for me is, a McCall mistake. I think that when you're going to play Ian Vigers in a central midfield role, if you play him alongside one other central midfielder, then if a team manages to break against you, you don't have any cover in the midfield area and you're liable to suffer under that. So, I mean, that for me is a mistake by McCall. But overall, I think that, we look like a team that even when we were playing well, were in the lead, The confidence is just so fragile at the team at the moment that as soon as St Johnson get back in the game, you could almost see the heads go down, and from then on there really was going to be one result after that. But it was frightening at times the way St Johnson sort of so easily countered against us. It wasn't good enough on the night in the second half. I thought overall it was encouraging in the context of the season so far, but there were still a lot of mistakes there, so it'll be interesting to see where we go for here.
Buster, there's five teams in this league that are likely to battle out for relegation, St Johnston being one of them. I think Partick Thistle are likely to be there or thereabouts in terms of relegation, St Mirren, Ross County and ourselves. So really, games like Friday night, we had to be picking up something from it.
Definitely. I think it's maybe too early at the moment for you to pick out who is going to be the bottom one, two, three, but again, it's daft things like McManus and Reid, I think it was, tackling each other for the last goal. There's a 5-yard slide across the goals, took out McManus and the boy just kicked it into the goals. Far, far too easy. It's stupid mistakes like that that have cost us all year. There's been times where, I think it was Aberdeen, the boy basically pinballed his way through about three defenders before kicking it into the goals after 90 seconds. It's these things that are going to cost us. And if we don't start, if we don't start basically concentrating and putting the fit in there, making the tackles, we're going to find ourselves bottom of the league come February, and it's going to be a struggle for there.
Yeah, another night that's going to be a struggle is Friday. Under the guidance of Kenny Black, our caretaker, Dundee United at Fir Park. United top of the league, full of confidence. They seem to have brought in quite a lot of young boys. I saw the boy Telfer made his first start after signing from Rangers during the summer. Jay, we had a few scalpings against United last season. I fear another one on Friday night.
Well, I suppose it's the complete unknown. I mean, got absolutely no idea what kind of team we'll put out on Friday night. I would like to think there would be certain changes. Again, going back to Fraser Kern, the right, that kind of thing. But you just don't know. Absolutely no idea what kind of team we'll put out, how we'll play, how the players will respond. But yeah, you're right. I think it's a game that we can kind of just accept is probably going to be a write-off, and then we've got the international weekend after that, and then following that, maybe then we can start to sort of look to see where our season's going to go after that. I think Friday night, we should just kind of turn up, obviously. I know the game's on the TV, but turn up, support the team. Maybe, no doubt, probably the odd chant about McCall. But I think that as far as the actual game itself goes, I think it's going to be a defeat.
Bastard. I don't really know enough about Kenny Black's kind of leadership qualities to make any judgment in the fact. I think he's really just in control for this game because he's the last man standing in terms of the managerial team. Sometimes, though, a wee bit of change around a place can lift the team, and at a time where the confidence seems to be non-existent, this could strangely turn out to be a wee bit of a blessing.
I hear what you're saying, but to be honest with you,
too confident.
I don't think there's going to be much changes made, to be fair. Kenny Black was obviously part of the same team as Stuart McCall, so I don't really see there being any way that he's going to make drastic changes. Even when we were good, we couldn't have beat Dundee United. I think they scored something like 16 goals against us last year, to probably 3 against them. But I don't think there's going to be much changes, to be fair. We'll probably still see Fraser Kerr at right wing, Josh Law at left wing. You know, I don't think there'll be much changes, to be fair.
You would hope, given that it's a tenner for adults, for the United supporters, and a fiver for kids, that our supporters actually get out there and get right behind the team, because badly, badly needed that we've got a support that are willing to put up with a time of transition and get us through this struggle, though, isn't it?
Well, that's also another thing, but we don't have a big fan base. Again, the last 3 years we've been the best of the rest. You're lucky if the attendances went up by 100 people. But as you say, cheaper football maybe changed people's minds.
I think my point was, though, it's just it's slipping and slipping, our attendances, and obviously when the results are poorer in the park, that's definitely not going to help.
No.
Talk quickly about the Scottish Cup draw, and it's another meeting against Dundee United, just after talking about how they like to give us a scalp and then we'll play them twice in a month. Jay, the Cups haven't been very kind, to say the least, recently. This isn't a tie that we wanted, was it?
Well, no, of course not. You know, there's a handful of teams that you don't really want. Dundee United be one of them. That said, with our Cup record in recent years, I think most draws would have been met with a sort of a reluctance. We've really not been good enough in the Cups. And, you know, it's one of those, it's at Firth Park. Again, we don't really know how the team's going to be looking by then. It's a really, really hard one to sort of preempt or predict. Obviously, the odds will be against us just purely based on the fact that we're a really terrible Cup team. But, you know, maybe a new manager, maybe a new lease of life in the team. So it's really hard to judge at the moment. But yeah, you're right. I think it's one of the teams we would have liked to have avoided and maybe got a wee away trip to an Ayr or a Stranraer instead.
I know you had said, Buster, that our crowds are generally pretty crap, but I suppose a cup game, it always brings out the punters. You'd hope this game would be at 3 o'clock on a Saturday rather than getting moved to a lunchtime kickoff for the BBC or Sky. I know they both cover the games. I think they've got three games around, so there is a chance that it'll get moved. I just hope that's not the case.
If it gets moved, you know, what can you do? It'll get moved. I think that we don't really sort of bring out the crowds. I think the crowds go away when we draw away. You know, the same 3,000 people that turn up decide to go, you know, to the away game rather than more people are interested in it. I think it's just something that's become a bit of a tradition amongst Motherwell fans. A good wee away day. What used to be the third round of the Scottish Cup is now the fourth. But as you say, you know, we're not a very good cup team, but with Stuart McCall, all he wanted to do was try and, you know, win a cup. Now he's gone, we'll probably end up winning the thing this year.
Well, that's what he said in his email, that he'd be back with his Clarendonmore scarf should we get to the final. It is quite handy, I'm being a Bradford supporter, that you can just actually dig that out and pass it off as a Motherwell one.
No one were in the final against Rangers.
The thing that's got me when they're talking about the next managerial appointment is the kind of worrying signs financially as well. Jay, I know you had made a pledge to the Well Society, and then I think I'm right in saying you didn't commit for future years due to the way that I believe it's stagnated. I'm not 100% sure what your reasons were, but maybe you can kind of elaborate on that a little.
Well, I did. I kind of get caught up, I suppose, at the very start. It seemed like quite an exciting thing. Maybe didn't put as much sort of actual thought and research into it. You know, it was Motherwell, my team, were doing this fan ownership thing, and it just seemed, you know, the automatic response to be involved in it. But yeah, you're right. I haven't. I paid the original £300, but I haven't paid the annual fee since then. And there's a few reasons. I think it's plainly just not been done very well. I think the fact that, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that there was at least a year went by before people were even allowed to pay in instalments because that hadn't been, you know, investigated. There just seemed to be a lot of, you know, a lot of downsides to it. It seemed to be a nice idea that just didn't really seem to be executed very well. I think that there was a lot of perhaps personal egos in terms of Leanne Dempster. I think that that was her baby, and it was more designed to be, you know, something for the CV or the LinkedIn page rather than, you know, genuine fan ownership. And I think that's one of the reasons that she left, because she realised that it hadn't been done very well and it wasn't going to, you know, make her out to be this visionary of Scottish football. I just think the whole thing has, you're right, it's stagnated, but I don't think it's just stagnated naturally. I think it's stagnated because it simply hasn't been done very well. Communication has been a problem. I can't remember the last time I even got an email from them. There's not really any incentives for people. £300, your minimum payment, is not going to get people to sign up in this current climate. The perks you're getting for £50 a year, even though £50 a year, you could argue, isn't a massive amount, but it is to quite a lot of people. And to do it to get a Goals DVD that you could just go and see at someone's house or download off of YouTube or whatever just seems complete nonsense. The whole thing's just been spectacularly messed up. And so it kind of grates a little bit when they're now asking for loans and things like that, almost as though, you know, I think it's the tone, the way they go about it now is almost as though it's the fans' fault. You know, the fans didn't subscribe to this. We thought the fans would be, you know, you're loyal, you should be subscribing to this. Why aren't you? When in reality, it's just not been done very well.
Yeah, I suppose that's one way of looking at it. The other way for me is when Dempster left the club, I believe that everyone else that's involved also worked full-time elsewhere, so it must be hard to commit your time to such a massive project. It's not just a kind of a tin pot operation. They're trying to raise 1.5 million quid, which is ambitious at the best of times. But when you've not got someone full time working on it, then you can't really be that surprised that it's kind of ended up stuck.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I'm not, I don't want to sort of turn it into an anti-Leanne Dempster rant or anything, but I think, you know, she has got a track record at Motherwell. You know, you had the Supporters Advisory Committee that was, you know, this visionary new way of communication with the fans, and then once Leanne Dempster kind of got bored of it, it just vanished. You had the Well Trust that kind of just vanished after she sort of fell out with, like, you know, some of the folk in the Well Trust. You had Steel Men Forever, which was supposed to be this fantastic new campaign that just seemed to evaporate into thin air. And then you had the Well Society, which again, once it has had either served its purpose of, you know, being an ego booster or had failed, she did the off. So I think that, you know, I'm not Leanne Dempster's biggest fan. I happen to know for a fact that there have been a few people with in-depth fundraising backgrounds, some who do it for jobs, etc., who have put themselves forward and have, you know, either been ignored or have been expected to jump through hoops in order to be involved with the Well Society. So there doesn't seem to be this massive need for fundraising. Doesn't really seem to have been taken very seriously by them at all. You know, and that's why we find ourselves in a situation where, quite a ludicrous situation, where we're emailing en masse Motherwell supporters asking them for massive loans.
Buster, you've got to think that in the kind of search for a manager, that this financial situation that the club finds itself in, this could affect it.
I think, to be honest with you, the finances were always going to be a big part of that anyway, because basically we don't have any. The fact that, you know, it's been well publicised that we're running at a loss over the last couple of years, and the money that was raised for the Well Society apparently has had to bail the club out a couple of times, is a bit worrying as well. But as you say, it's a job that if somebody's going to come in, they know they're not going to have any money anyway. They know the budget's going to be very small, but again, as you say, it's still a bit of a worry.
Well, guys, I think that's basically all we've got time for this episode. We're going to make this a weekly occurrence, I believe. Same place, same time next Monday. You've been listening to the By the Minute Motherwell podcast. Cheers for listening, and we'll be back next week.